Thank you for joining us this morning here at Thrive. We're so glad you're joining us. Make sure whatever platform you're on, just let us know you're watching. We'd love to be able to talk with you, pray with you if you would like that. Thanks for being a part. As you know, if you've been a part of us and you've been following along with our church, we've been in 1 Peter because I think it's so applicable to where we are in our current culture and what is going on around us. And in fact, it's called Living as a Christian in a Non-Christian World. Absolutely. Now, where we're at, we're trying to figure out how to follow Jesus and what it looks like to do that in a world where the majority are not following Jesus. And we've looked at all sorts of different topics. We've also invited you along the way to do a Bible app plan with us. If you don't have the Bible app, this is a great way to get the Word into your life on a daily basis. You can download it on your Android device, your Apple device. Download it, get a part of a plan if you'd like to. Friend me, and my name is Ed, and we'd just love for you to join us as we're doing a Bible plan about what we're learning during these lessons every week. So, just to remind us all, because I think it's so important that we remember this, Peter starts off his journey as Simon. He is a fisherman from Capernaum. He follows Jesus. Jesus gives him a new name, calls him Peter. Peter ultimately ends up denying Christ, and yet Jesus restores him and makes him the leader of the early church. When's the last time somebody betrayed you, went behind your back, just denied you, and you said, hey, I want you to be a part of my most important endeavor? We don't think about that, do we? But Jesus did exactly that, makes him the leader of the early church. Peter ultimately dies as a martyr. And where Peter's going to go now in his journey, and we started this last week, this whole idea of what it looks like to submit. That following Jesus is a life of submission which can lead people to Christ. Whether or not you understand that, we talked about that last week, whether I submit to the authorities and to the places around me or I don't, I'm representing Jesus. It's no longer Ed and his Facebook page and what rants I'd like to go on. It is Jesus that gets represented. Sometimes we forget that. Hey, Jesus came and Jesus died and I have chosen to follow Jesus. And you know what that means? I follow him. And that means I represent him with the way that I live my life. So following Jesus' life of submission, which can lead people to Christ. And so now he wants to show us that practically in two different ways. Now, when I start this passage off today, and I'm going to dive right in because I want you to see, because we got to address something right off the bat. Here in 1 Peter chapter 2, this is how Peter begins this section, okay? Slaves, be subject to your masters with all reverence. Now, it'd be very easy, right, to get to that passage in your Bible and go, well, that doesn't apply to me. I'm not a slave. I don't have a master, so I'm out, right? It doesn't apply to me. But most people who study Scripture look at this as different than just one set of relationships. And I want you to see that because this is going to be applicable to where we are today and what's currently going on in our lives. So I need to see this. So I quoted somebody who would help us understand this, okay? In our culture, this is important, Peter's directions apply to how we behave in relation to those directly over us in society. Okay, that's how we take this section and we apply it to where we are today. So what does this look like in our culture? I'm not a slave. I don't have a master. What does this look like? Okay, so this is what was being understood to us. It applies to how we behave in relation to those directly over us in society. For example, and I love that this person did this, employers, bosses, administrators, and teachers. This came from the translation I use called the Net Bible, and their study notes are amazing. You can go to netbible.org, and you can get all of these. And I just love this quote. So we take this section, and we look at it differently. I'm not a slave, I don't have a master. It is not saying your employer is your slave, okay? It's just saying what he's going to say here is going to help us to know how do I relate in that area. It's going to know how do I relate as an employee? How do I relate to my boss? How do I relate to administrators? How do I relate to teachers? So for all you kids, all you students who watch us, how do you follow Jesus? How do you do that with your teacher? What is Jesus asking of you to do with your teacher? What's Jesus asking us to do in our workplaces? What is he asking us to do? And let me tell you why I believe this is so important. Why work and talking about it is so important. Because COVID, this thing COVID, has affected all of us, especially in the area of work. Do you know that? It's affected all of us in the area of work. You're probably going, oh my goodness, it has. If there's one story that I keep hearing over and over again, it's you don't understand what's happened in my workplace, Ed. What's happened in my workplace is now I have more responsibilities with the same or less time, and I'm expected to get it all done. I'm expected to get it all done. I have friends who are in management roles, and they're trying to encourage people, then hire somebody, right? Get somebody in to help you do that. And nobody's thinking that way. I took a situation where if you work in retail and you got to do a lot of cleaning and different things, I took that and I placed it on my already busy people, and I expect them to do that. This has led to a lot of stress in the workplace. Stress has gone up because everybody's doing more with equal or less time. What I mean by that, some of you are working 10-hour days. You're working 8-hour days, but you're expected to get everything done in 8 hours. That you took 10 hours to do. And now on top of that, you gotta clean, you gotta disinfect, you gotta sanitize. And you're like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. So this has affected all of us, especially in the areas of work. It is the same for me. I have recognized this as well. I knew nothing about recording video, audio, putting it together, and putting something out on YouTube, Facebook, the church online. I knew nothing about that. And I had to learn a whole bunch of new skills that I have to now do every week. And it's like, nobody said, oh, here's more hours. It's right? You only have so many hours in a week. So I understand this. And some of you have far, far more stressful situations than I do. I understand that. And everything has changed at work, and the stress level has gone up, and you've just about had it. You come home, and you just want to check out. You just want to be done. Everybody leave me alone. It was such a rough day. So that's why I think this topic is really important, especially right now, for us to have a conversation about today. Because our witness is often most powerful in our workplace. Did you ever think of that? Your witness is the most powerful in your workplace. In other words, when the people around you discover that you follow Jesus, that you're a Christian, they look at you differently. They look at you to say, okay, is their life different from mine? They look at you to say, okay, how are they going to handle this situation? Are they going to lie? Are they going to cheat the numbers? They say they did something they didn't. They're going to mislead a customer. What are they going to do? How are they going to work? What you don't understand is as soon as the people around you at work understood who you were, that you followed Jesus, your workplace became the most powerful place for you to witness. I don't mean you got to preach, you got to open up the Bible. I mean your life is a witness. Your life says who you follow. Your life says something about it. What is your life saying to the people around you, the people that you work with? What does it say to them? That's what I want us to think about today, okay? So diving back in to this scripture. Slaves, be subject to your masters, okay? This is how I relate to the people directly over me. With all reverence, just respect. Peter says, I want you to be respectful to them. And then he says this, right? Not only to those who are good, And some of you in that situation, you have someone who is good. They have helped you through this time. In the most stressful thing, you would look and you would say, my boss is good. Okay? My employer is good. Okay? Students, you would say, my teacher is good. Okay? So he said, but wait a minute. You don't just respect them if things are good. Okay? Not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are perverse. He just tries to come up with this word to try to describe, yeah, if you think your employer, they're crazy, right? They are harsh. They're at times a jerk, okay? They're just overbearing. He says, I just want you to understand, that is not an excuse not to respect them. That is not an excuse that you don't have to respect them. So I want you to understand that. This doesn't just apply for those who are good, but for those who are bad. Continues. For this, for what? When you're subject to them. It's what I said last week. Submission is about putting yourself under somebody's authority. Your boss, your employer, your teacher, they are not better than you in God's eyes. We are equal in God's eyes. Okay? God asks us, for the sake of your witness and to be a light, I want you to put yourself under them. And you do. You did when you went there. You agreed to follow the rules. You might have signed a form that said, in this workplace, I will follow the rules. I will follow what I'm told, right? You agreed to submit. And this is what he's saying. By the way, when you do that, he says, do it with respect. For this, submission, voluntary submission, finds God's favor. If because of conscience, it's because God's saying, come on, hang in there. And he's speaking into your life. Because of conscience towards God, someone endures hardships in suffering unjustly. And this is going to be his theme. Okay, here he goes. For what credit is it if you sin and are mistreated? Oh, you took something you weren't supposed to? You were only supposed to take a half-hour lunch and you took 40 minutes, right? He's like, I don't want you to think that your boss is being bad, your employer's being bad, your teacher's being bad when you're breaking the rules. Okay? Because what credit is you if you sin and are mistreated? Of course you're going to suffer if you do what's wrong. But if you do good and suffer and so endure, this finds favor with God. So let's talk about some of those situations that are hard and difficult right now. And that you feel like I'm being picked on, I'm being mistreated, I'm being asked to do too much, this isn't right. Do you understand that we are going to be invited into suffering even though we're doing the right thing? He says you might be suffering even if you're doing the right thing. And your work environment might be tough and difficult and you're doing everything right. He says, do you understand? This finds God's favor. This finds God's grace. God looks and he is pleased at the way you are living in spite of what's going on in your workplace and that you're suffering and that things aren't right and things aren't fair and you keep hoping every day this has got to get better. Some of you are on the verge of quitting. Some of you are on the verge of just saying, I'm going to be done. I don't need this hassle. Okay? And he's just saying, I'm just telling you, he's saying, this finds favor with God. When you are suffering for doing the right thing. See, when you submit and when you don't submit, you are representing Christ. Maybe you forgot that in your workplace. Come on, we all do. We all do. Well, my workplace isn't church, so why would I think that God would care about how I do it? We tend to compartmentalize our lives. Here's the way I am at home. Here's the way I am at school. Or here's the way I am at work. And here's the way I am at church. Well, you know, I'll submit to God at church, but I got to submit to God at work? Yes. Because when you submit and when you don't submit, you're representing Christ. It's the same thing we talked about last week. That there might be situations where you'll be asked to do something that you shouldn't do. It's wrong. What are you going to do in that moment? Oh, I got to submit. They're my boss. That's what I was told to do. Nope. When you submit and when you don't submit, and sometimes we don't submit because we need to do the right thing, you're representing Christ. When you submit, when you're hanging in there, even though you're getting blamed and it's not your fault and you're doing everything you can do, you are representing Jesus in your workplace. And that can make a huge difference. Now, let's talk about the big but, right? Some of you are like, okay, Ed, just sit down with me for 5 minutes. And I'm assured at the end of that 5 minutes, you'll sign a pass and say, okay, you don't have to follow the scripture. I'm certain you would do that. In fact, I'm just convinced that Jesus would give me a pass because you don't understand how bad it is. You don't understand how bad my employer is. You don't understand how bad it is. You don't understand what my workplace is like. You don't know what school's like. You don't know what that teacher's like. Okay? The but. But my situation is different. I would get a pass, and you would give me a pass. Number one, I don't get to give passes. Okay? We either follow scripture or we don't. I don't get to give passes for you to just look at this and say, okay, I don't have to do this because my workplace is bad. We don't get to do that. I don't get to give you that. You don't need to beg God, please just give me a pass so they don't have to do this. And I have to wonder, do you think Peter knew he was going to get that response, that pushback? Peter, you don't know my workplace. Peter, you don't know what my teacher at school is like. Peter, you just don't know. And if you could be there, Peter, you would be like, pass. Yeah, you don't have to do it. I'm sorry, I didn't know what your situation's like. I think he thought about this because of what he does next. Without even pausing, stopping, beginning a new paragraph, he wants to talk about this idea of suffering for doing right. So do you know where he takes us? He takes us to a place where we can't make excuses anymore. He takes us to the cross. For to this you were called. That sometimes you suffer for doing what's right. You were called for that. Since who? Jesus. Since Christ also suffered for you. Leave an example for you to follow in his steps. That means when you're doing what is right and you're suffering, you are following in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what Peter wants us to understand. This is how he wants to answer this big objection of, if you only knew my workplace, you would make an exception for me. He committed no sin. Now, none of us are in this place. He committed no sin. None. Zero. That was Jesus' story. He did nothing wrong. Well, that's not our story. All have sinned. All have sinned but Jesus. It says he committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Now, what Peter is doing, he is quoting scriptures, mainly from Isaiah 53, that reflect and tell us about Jesus. When he was maligned, in other words, they made up stuff about him. They came before the Pharisees and said he was going to destroy the temple and then rebuild it in 3 days, right? They just made up things about him. He did not answer back. When he suffered, he threatened no retaliation. He didn't say, oh, one day, it's all coming back on you. He didn't do any of that. When he was maligned, he didn't answer back. There's some things you just can't answer back to. You just can't. There isn't a response. You don't have to give a response. You just have to say, well, you know, you're going to blame me. I guess you're going to blame me. And again, that's why he wants to take us to Jesus and say, do you know what Jesus went through? Do you know what your Savior went through for you? What are we asked to go through for him? But, so Jesus didn't do any of that. He committed himself to God who judges justly. Now, this is a huge idea right now. This idea of, because why? If we don't think someone gets justice, we do what? Well, what we're seeing in our country is what? If we think justice wasn't done, what are we going to do? Well, we got groups, you know, burning cities, rioting, all sorts of things. Now, there are people who are protesting, who are peaceful protesters. That's fine. I'm talking about people who are rioting, right, and destroying things, Okay? What does Jesus do? He commits himself to God who judges justly. In this world, there are going to be lots of instances where we are not judged justly. And we commit that to God. Okay, God, you know, you saw, you were there. And I'm going to ask you to take care of this. In this life or the next, I'm going to trust you to do that. Wow, that's hard and that's difficult because we want a justice and we want it now and we want it how we think it should happen. But Jesus commits himself to God who judges justly. And sometimes in situations, we need to commit ourselves to God who judges justly. He himself, he said, do you know why Jesus suffered for doing right? Because he himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, that we may cease from sinning and live for righteousness. By his wounds, you were healed. You were healed. Reminding us what Jesus has done for us, because he was willing to suffer for doing what is right. Wow. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that amazing? For you. Because now he's got to take it back and say, remember, Jesus is the one who suffered for doing right. But you were going astray like sheep. But now you've turned back to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. Takes it right back to the message of the gospel. Jesus suffered and died in our place for our salvation. He committed no sin. He did nothing wrong. And yet he steps in and takes my place, he takes your place, and all we have to do is put our trust in him. He says, I know you're struggling in your workplaces. I know it's hard right now, but do you understand at the center of the gospel is that Jesus died for you, and he suffered unjustly for you. Could we go into our workplaces, and even if they're hard and difficult places right now, we would follow the example of Jesus. Because we know what? We're going astray. We're going our own way, doing our own thing. And we came to follow Jesus and turned our lives around and started back to the shepherd and guardian of our souls. And that's where Peter leverages, because he says, I know. You would just tell me, Peter, if you just knew my situation. Peter, if you just walk into my workplace for 5 minutes and you'd understand it's bad. No. Look what Jesus did for you. And at the heart of the gospel is about our Heavenly Father who makes sure that our sins would be paid for through his only Son who did nothing wrong, who suffered for doing right. He just takes us back to the gospel and he says, for the sake of the gospel, suffer even when you're doing everything right. You see, we are most like Christ when we suffer for doing what is right. That's when we are most like him. So, can I just ask you this for a moment? What would happen if we followed Jesus' lead in our workplace? What would just happen? What would happen if we just followed the lead of our Savior and said, okay, even in hard and difficult situations, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to put myself under that authority. And even if I'm suffering for doing right, I understand that's what Jesus did for me. And we just lead out. I'm just telling you, I think it would transform our workplaces. I just think it would just transform them. They would look so different. And people just look and say, yeah, but you didn't do that. Go in there and yell at him. And you're like, no. I'm just going to choose to commit this to Christ, and I'm going to continue to follow him. What kind of an example would that be in our workplaces? So let me end with this. Following Jesus turns a workplace into a place where faith can be found. Following Jesus turns a workplace into a place where faith can be found. What would it look like to see that happen in your workplace? To see those coworkers come to know Christ because you are simply living and doing what is right in the midst of everything going on. Now, I don't expect you to do this by yourself. I expect you to kind of just muster up and, okay, this week we're going to figure out how to do it. Nope. Because that's not what Jesus expects of us either. He expects us to pray and ask him, give me the strength to go into that workplace and live for you and suffer so that people might know who you are. So I want to pray for us that we would do just that. We would ask that Jesus would help us to go into our workplaces and make a difference and see people come to know him. Let me pray for us today. Dear Heavenly Father, would you help us? Our workplaces are hard and stressful right now, and COVID has ramped some of that stress way up. And we're struggling, and it's hard. And we're stressed out. Some of us have gone home and taken that stress right with us, and we have let our spouse have it, our kids have it, and then we feel bad. We wish it didn't happen. Would you help us to see our workplace as a place where we can live for you and see people come and find faith? Not because we're sitting there opening our Bible, preaching at them, but because they're seeing the way that we live, even in the midst of the hardest times, even when we suffer for doing what is right. So empower us and help us because we cannot do this on our own. We can only do this with your help. Lead us, direct us, guide us. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks for joining us next week, chapter 3. We're going to get to chapter 3. We're going to talk about marriage and what does that look like to live a marriage that actually leads people to Jesus. Thanks for joining us. We will see you next week.